Grab your Bibles and turn them to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is actually not where I'm going, but something that Larry just kind of stirred up in me. The more astute of you will realize that I'm not Mr. Ferguson. It's probably the lack of necklace that gives it away. Of course, last week, I was planning, I was ready to go, and quite frankly, I wish instead of me up here, we'd have version 2 from last week. We'd have the continued debate of Mr. Hall and Mr. Wilson, so we could find out a little more about what blood baptism is and how one does that. And one of the things that was kind of going through my mind as Larry was up here was, you know, sooner or later there has to be a way to discern whether somebody's actually, well, I mean, all you need to do is believe more. Well, how do you gauge that? How do you know? At what point in time is there enough belief? I mean, is it when we come up with new terms and we just like blindly jump into those? I mean, how do we gauge that? Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. For who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Now hold on a second here. So were they unable to enter because of disobedience or unbelief? Exactly. Mr. Simpson's got it. Because if you believe, then you will obey. And the way that you know somebody's obeying is by their actions. And the way that we know that we're immersed into Christ for the right reasons and that we're obeying is because we're immersed into Christ. And it's something that we do. Imagine that. You would actually be able to go ahead and quantify, yep, I know I did this because it was something I did. Versus some kind of nebulous, I don't know, just believe more, and somehow that will get over the intricacies of it. With that in mind, turn all the way back to Leviticus chapter 10. Now, I am very thankful and appreciative that I can be here this evening, though. As much as I would like to see, I don't want to say a repeat, but a further opportunity to examine the scriptures between Mr. Hall and Mr. Wilson, we're gonna take a look at just a small little area, small little thing that shows up in Scripture, but has some interesting New Testament applications. And like most other things, when it's a fancy word, has some really interesting abuse in the religious marketplace. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored." So Aaron therefore kept silent. Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel, and said to them, "Come forward. Carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp." So they came forward and they carried them, still in their tunics, to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, so that you may not die and that he may not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you." So they did according to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Great God, awesome, amazing, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, we are very thankful and appreciative that we have your scripture. We are thankful and you're appreciative that you took the great time, effort, and energy for within to define its own terms, that we might not be struggling to understand what it says, rather that we might understand what exactly you have for us to know. Lord, we're thankful and appreciative that you specifically set things up to foreshadow a greater and more excellent tabernacle in heaven. We're thankful and appreciative, Lord, that really that whole Old Testament was really designed as a tutor to lead us to Christ. Lord, that we might ultimately take on the fullness of qualities that we formerly had no right to, but through his immersion, Lord, we can now be conformed into that same likeness. pray that you'd be with me this evening, that I would have clarity of thought and speech, and that most important, that the message would be edifying, that ultimately you would bring knowledge that we might use to further bring more sons and daughters to your glory. So, amen. So, now, you guys are familiar with what... Well, you know, I want to get a running jump on it, you know. You guys are familiar with what happens. Nadab and Abihu come up and offer strange fire before the Lord. In fact, I did that for an opening a while back. It was just when we came to Billings, and we actually... Well, no, it was a little later, because I think it was in this building. We had some incense on pier, and then the whole place stunk for a while, and that's the last time I'm going to do that. But then we had some incense, and I was trying to explain to the kids, you know, offering certain fire and strange fire. Now, I'm not going to get into the strange fire before the Lord, but the implication is clear here. We're going to treat the Lord as holy, and failure to do so is going to have some major consequences. So Nadab and Abihu, they want to do it their own way. And again, there's some debate over how exactly they do that, but that's not the point of the message this evening. So they offer strange fire before the Lord, and fire consumes them. Okay? So we've got, for lack of better terminology, they're charred carcasses, and we got to dispose of those. Okay? So Moses, he assigns a few guys and says, okay, this is the way, you know, this is the way we're going to do it. And the guys are going to carry him off. And then there's explicit instruction. Verse 7, you shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die, for the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. Now, that's kind of harsh. Okay, guy just loses his sons. Moses is saying, okay, by the way, you're done. I mean, in terms of, you know, they're finished, they're charbroiled, you're staying here, and if you want to go after them, you will die, essentially. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. Now, again, it seems like a little bit of a harsh statement considering, you know, it's the guy's kids. I mean, is it that big of a deal to maybe, you know, I mean, he just lost his kids. He's got to continue with his priestly duties? Well, yeah. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more about anointing and this anointing oil. Turn on over to Exodus chapter 29, and we're going to begin right in verse 1. On our way over there, it's important to understand what it means to anoint, because there is a lot of confusion on that in the religious marketplace right now. Well, I shouldn't say right now, but there has been for quite a while, particularly when it comes to the Holy Spirit, because you'll hear things like, come anoint us with the Spirit, you know? Come, you know, and the anointing. I think if I remember correctly, in the Left Behind series, isn't one of the books, there's the anointing, and then isn't there also the desecration? I think one of them's the anointing. Am I right? I haven't read them. Okay. What's that? No anointing, just desecration. Okay. Okay. Even though it didn't make the Left Behind series, there's still a lot of confusion around it. And typically, and it's used in connection with, you know, come and anoint us. Let the Holy Spirit come upon us. And, you know, and then we'll anoint us with living water and anoint us with this and anoint us with that. And it's really designed, from a New Testament perspective, as we'll see, for some very specific applications. Okay, so 29, verse 1, and we're just going to kind of hit these in rapid succession, or at least attempt to, because I'm a little limited on time. See, I cut into my own message. 29, verse 1. Exodus 29, verse 1. Now this is what you shall do to consecrate them and to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and you shall make them a fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and present them in the baskets along with the bull and the two rams, and you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. You should take the garments and put them on Aaron, and the tunic and the robe and the ephod and the ephod and the breastpiece and the gird, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Okay, so we've washed him. Now we've put the garments on him. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Okay, and then if we want to jump down a little more here, verse 21, we're still in chapter 29. Verse 21, then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on his sons' garments with him, so he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. And then it even goes on to talk about, now these are going to be holy consecrated garments, and they're going to be specific for specific uses. And in fact, when Aaron died, you'll recall, they actually stripped his garments and gave it to his successor. Okay, so once these are consecrated, they're set aside for a very specific purpose. Okay, now, anointing. means to dedicate to the service of the Lord or consecrate and make sacred. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to get some of this oil. We're going to get to what the oil is in a second. But we're going to get some of this oil, and we're going to go through, and after the guys are all washed and clean, we're going to sprinkle some on them. And then from the sacrifice, we're going to go ahead and take that too, some of the blood of that, and we're going to sprinkle them again after we've originally sprinkled them. And then, of course, in passing, we're going to sprinkle a whole bunch of other stuff too with that oil. Okay? We're going to sprinkle the temple and a number of other things with that oil as well. Let's jump over. We're really close. Exodus 30, 22 and 23. In reference to the oil, actually we'll start at verse 31. You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout all your generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it. In the same portions, it is holy, it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any on it, a layman shall be cut off from his people. Just to clarify, there may be a little confusion initially because we're supposed to pour it on Aaron's head. You'll notice what it says is you're not supposed to pour it on a layman's body, to clarify. It's okay to pour it on Aaron's head, and it's okay to use on the garments along with the blood. Okay, but the point is here, nobody can just go ahead and make their own recipe here. Okay, nor shall you make any like it in the same portions. It is holy. It shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people. You're going to make it a certain way, and it's going to be used for certain things. And if you try and make anything like it, or put that anything like it on somebody else, you're going to be cut off. You're going to follow the recipe. Okay, you're not going to improvise. You know, I tried to cook some breadsticks with the kids when Billy was gone the other evening, because that's about the extent of my cooking abilities. And just in passing, these were the brown and serve breadsticks. Okay? So I thought, well, you know, we'll put some butter on that and put some cheese on those, and then another kind of cheese, and then I'm in the oven, and I'm like, oh, wait, we could do like some Mediterranean spices, because we have some of that. So we mix that with some butter. I mean, this is total improvisation the whole time. I think it took like an hour to cook the things, and they're like supposed to be 5 minutes, and you're good. Okay? They would not want me messing with the anointing oil here. Okay, you got to follow the recipe and follow it to a T. This isn't, you know, we'll take a dash of this, a splash of this, do whatever we want to do. You follow the recipe, and it's only for that specific purpose. Okay, jump on over to 31:11. If there's any confusion on following the recipe, as they're again relaying what you're going to do about the incense, and we're talking about the builders. Verse 11 of 31, the anointing oil also and the fragrant incense for the holy place, they are to make them according to all that I commanded you. In case there's any confusion, you will follow the recipe. And when it was finally made, Exodus 39, verse 38, just to ensure, I mean, there was actually a quality control program. 39, verse 38. I think that's right. Hold on. Yes. So we're talking about everything that's going to be inspected here. And for the sake of time, I can't go too farther up. Well, here. Thus all the work of the tabernacle. Let's see here. Well, in any event, this is everything that they're examining. So in verse 39, or verse 38 of chapter 39, and the gold and the altar and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the veil for the door of the tent of meeting. And if you follow it down, and Moses, in verse 33, and Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. So not only did the Lord say, okay, you're going to make it this way, did not only the Lord say, you know, and we didn't go through... Yeah, I didn't. I didn't even go through the long version of how we go about making that. Basically, there were some specific spices and there was a specific process, and that's laid out as well. But we're not going to take the time to cover that. The important thing that you have to take away is that the anointing oil, was specifically prescribed for a specific purpose, and it was only to be used for that purpose, and it was only to be used in that way, and they were to follow the recipe and only use it for that. So, when they get this all ready and good to go, Leviticus chapter 8. We're not going to be able to hit all of it. Beginning of verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil and a bowl of the sin offering and of the two rams and of the basket of the unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation of the doorway of the tent of meeting. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him when the congregation was assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And then if we jump down, he's got the anointing oil. Then in verse 12, then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So not only was there instructions given, literally that's what they did. And in verse 30, if there's any confusion, so Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and on his garments and his sons and on the garments of his sons with him and consecrated Aaron, his garments and his sons and the garments of his sons with him. Okay. So again, we have, and this is the abbreviated version too. It's actually recounted for more times than that. And then, one last thing, before we head back to our original opening passage. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 10. The priest who is highest among his brothers, on whom the head, on whose head the anointing oil has been poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. Nor shall he approach any dead person nor defile himself, even for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. Now, in passing, actually more than just in passing, that took place, at least from a chapter perspective, after our original text that we opened up with. Because we were back in Leviticus chapter 10. So he's not even given specific instruction about leaving or defiling or being careful until after this takes place. So either they already had that instruction from the Lord, which is definitely possible. Okay, either they had received the instruction from the Lord regarding the anointing oil, and they went ahead and followed suit, or they understood the importance of the anointing oil, and then the Lord afterwards enumerates this to them. But the conclusion is the same regardless. When you have the anointing oil on you, your priestly duties come first. When you have the anointing oil on you, whatever is taking place in the tabernacle supersedes anything else that's going on. So much so that as long as that oil is on you, you aren't going to leave. Again, let me say it one more time. When you've got the anointing oil on you, your priestly duties come first. So much so that whatever's taking place in the tabernacle comes before anything else that's going on, even the death of your own two sons. Because that's exactly what happened. Now, most folks are familiar with this, but we'll go ahead and... and one more thing, just in passing. The anointing oil is so... let me digress for a quick second here. I've never been a huge fan of fast food. They do things like they come up with their own sauces, and then they place certain stewards under those sauces or those spices, typically assistant managers, and they'll be in charge of ensuring the secret sauce stays secret. Okay? Now, that's not new by any means. They actually stole that, because keep in mind, back in the Old Testament, Eleazar was actually in charge of the anointing oil. It was his job to protect and be a steward over the anointing oil. I don't know if it was to ensure intellectual property, or I don't know if it was to prevent it from being copied or whatever, but seriously, all humor aside, they actually had somebody whose sole job was to basically watch over the anointing oil, make sure it was okay, make it when necessary, and realistically, prevent it from getting stolen. I've got the anointing oil. I mean, just hold on. I mean, think about this for a second. I've got the anointing oil. Okay? Come with me. See, if one actually had that, it could easily be an opportunity to mislead some folks. Not that the use of the word anointing would ever mislead anybody in our time. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is the obvious New Testament tie-in that most of you are already familiar with. Then we're going to try and draw some quick conclusions and still get you out on time. Excuse me, did I say 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? I meant to say 2 Corinthians. And there are plenty of New Testament tie-ins. This is one of the clearer ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So, we're anointed and ultimately sealed with the Holy Spirit, being that I'm essentially out of time. See, the New Testament tie-in is, you know, sometimes folks want to accidentally interchange the concept of being washed and being anointed. Those are actually completely separate in the Old Testament. And just in passing, too, something else I want to make very clear. Getting them just in water didn't necessarily make them clean. And I definitely say this. Getting them anointed, okay, whether they have Crisco or Wesson or Pam or nonstick or whatever it was on them, that wasn't the concern. They had done what the Lord had prescribed. Okay, they had followed His commands. He was the one that was doing the anointing. Okay, now, was it necessary to go through, just like, you know, we want to take Naaman? I mean, just like he didn't wash away his own sin, it wasn't the pouring of the oil that anointed in the individual. Ultimately, it was God. Because keep in mind, this is also all a foreshadow of something far more important. See, it was that they were going through God's prescribed commands. Because realistically, having that stuff on you, I mean, if anything, you'd just be kind of a sticky, sloppy mess. Really? I mean, and furthermore, I'm sure it made him smell a little nicer, but it wasn't really what made him. I mean, washing him in water wouldn't necessarily make him clean, and this made him smell nice. It's not really dealing with the fundamental problem here, okay? I mean, if we're talking about cleanliness and smelling nice, it wasn't, unfortunately, dealing with the fundamental spiritual problem either. And that's what we're here about this evening. See, we come about the Lord's table because we had an opportunity to fundamentally deal with that spiritual problem. See, we're anointed with something that lasts eternally. And we're anointed with something and sealed with the Holy Spirit that they only yearn to have. Now, there's a lot of confusion around there because folks want to go ahead and try and, like I was commenting before, try and interchange cleanliness and anointing. But the Scripture is clear. Just like in the Old Testament where the individual was first cleansed, then anointed, so are we. We're washed away of our sins and then we receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? The anointing that we receive can't enter an unclean vessel. And they were very clear here, too. You'll notice that there was actually two anointings, technically, that took place. You know, they were initially washed, and then they were sprinkled, and then we had blood, and they were sprinkled with that as well. A nice New Testament tie-in. Okay, and then all the stuff that they had, and then the tabernacle was also sprinkled with that anointing oil. Everything had to be consecrated, set aside for a holy purpose. Okay? And once it was set aside for that holy purpose, that's what came first. Now, of course, the obvious New Testament tie-in this evening is once we're set aside for that holy purpose, this is what comes first. And that's why we're here this evening. Our priestly service supersedes anything else out there. Anything. Whether it be financial gain, whatever. And, of course, the more negative New Testament tie-in to this is, if an individual was to turn their back on that service, if an individual was to leave the assembly, does any less of a dire conclusion remain for them? To turn your back on the service of the Lord? I mean, this is just, I mean, all they had to do in the Old Testament was just essentially walk outside. That was it. But you walk outside the tabernacle of the Lord, that's what the consequences are. Because that's how serious the Lord takes those who serve Him. And that's how seriously we should take it as well. So I'm thankful and appreciative that we're here this evening. That this is what's the most important thing in our week, and we can open up another new week with that. You know, and again, the anointing oil didn't anoint the individual. God did. And the same holds true for us. And that's why I'm thankful and appreciative to have brothers and sisters with you. And again, this doesn't directly tie in with the message, but I'm really thankful and appreciative for you guys. I mean, although I couldn't be there for Bible Bowl, it was really exciting to get the text messages. Okay, they've made it. Okay, they're to this stage. They're to this stage. I was busy burning some stuff in the yard, and here Billy is. Okay, this is how far they're at. That's really exciting that we can work together on those things. It's really exciting that, you know, when we have guests that show up, everybody, all the guys are climbing out of their seats to go ahead and basically rake the guy over the coals, which we still had an opportunity to do after he stopped. it's exciting to be on that team. What puts us on that team is that ultimately our belief was in line with our obedience. And when we actually obeyed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit. How awesome that foreshadow is of the more perfect sealing that we have in the Holy Spirit. With that, you guys are dismissed.